Hello and welcome to the Hill and Valley. This is Nick Roby. Thanks for tuning in for your weekly Clemson podcast. We are here to recap what ended up being a tough night in Death Valley as LSU takes down Clemson 17-10 in the Battle of the Tigers. Some have said the Battle of the Death Valleys. Who's to say? But LSU does come on top in this top 10 matchup, 17-10. Some of my initial thoughts on the game, I've kind of gone back and forth just because there have been some aspects of the game where I haven't been as sure like what my thought was, because I thought Clemson did do some things well. I don't think they capitalized in all the ways I would have hoped. From that perspective, I think you have to give credit to LSU and how they played, for sure. I think also, you know, there are some missed opportunities they'll look back on. You know, there was a little banter in the press conference on Tuesday of, you know, Dabo gave themselves a 58, gave LSU a 65, and then LSU had some, I mean, Brian Kelly had some little comments back of like, well, he didn't grade us well enough, or you know, we dominated the second half, all those sorts of things. I think at the end of the day, it was a one possession game where both teams have chances to win, and LSU made a couple more plays. Clemson made some critical mistakes, and I think that's what happens a lot in week one games. It's you can make a couple more plays, who can limit the amount of mistakes, because you have to remember too, like, there's no preseason games. Like, they've had fall camp, but there's not even any scrimmages or anything. So this is their first contact, and you have this big, I mean, full live contact of a game and game situation, and they're both coming into this, and you have a top 10 matchup, you know, and teams have had all offseason to also script, and especially defensively. I think we saw that a lot too over the weekend, is that defenses were ahead for the most part. And I think we kind of expected that just because of also with the number of transfers that people have as well, that it's easier to install and get on the same page when it comes to defenses, whereas offense is more rhythm. It's of timing. It's of understanding those different things, where a lot of times on defense, you have a call, of course, but you can go and, you know, go and attack the ball like a little bit easier. That being said, I think that's why people were really high on this Clemson team, and I'm still high on the team because of all that returning production, right? And within a same system. And you bring in Tom Allen from Penn State, defensive coordinator, and you saw how well he did there in Indiana and defensive mind he is. I thought defense played well. But, you know, at the same time, it was like to only score 10 points. That was disappointing. I think, too, LSU's defense was probably better than advertised, for sure. I think also LSU found with, you know, where they wanted to play Harold Perkins, because as the junior, you know, he got hurt last year, and then they were trying to figure out like where to kind of put him, and they had him in this like hybrid type of position. And I think that actually worked for him as well. But at the same time, like, there were openings, there were places to attack, and LSU kind of said, they just basically were like, we're going to pressure Cade, we're going to pressure you guys, force you to become one-dimensional, and then beat us in the spaces that you leave open. Because in the defense, there's always going to be space. It's just how much space and for how long. And I think they banked on our guys can get home or affect Cade in the offense long enough to, you know, minimize that. And I would say that worked decently. Like, Clemson was able to put some drives together, but at the same time, you know, they made some of their own mistakes. I think Antonio Williams getting hurt in that first series with a hamstring, I think that hampered him just from a, just like, I mean, maybe just rotation wise, and I think maybe put him in a little bit of doubt. I don't know. It just kind of threw everybody off a little bit. And you kind of wonder, like, with Cade, you have like so many weapons now. And you know, he had a really good rapport with Bernie Sewell, the tight end, last year. New running game, and I think that was also a big question. He's like, who was going to be his number one receiver? And so he and Tyler Brown had some good connections. But I think that was kind of an interesting thing. And I think a point to continue to watch is what's his connection with different receivers, for sure. But he looked just a little flustered. and made some uncharacteristic, not un, well, it's hard to say what's uncharacteristic and what's not. You wouldn't want it from, you know, a third year starter, you know, senior, you know, to miss some of these plays or where the protection was there, but he ran out and kind of ran into trouble. The protection didn't always give him the best opportunity, but he ran a lot, maybe missed some reads, and he would say that he didn't play really a great game or his best game. The running game did not help. You know, they scored on the fourth and goal with Adam Randall, and I thought he played decent for what opportunities he was given. There weren't a lot of opportunities given to the running game. Like, they only had 15. They had 20 carries total when you include sacks for 31 yards. The longest run of the day was 7 yards. You know, I mean, you just made yourself one-dimensional. Kate ended up going 19 for 38, 230 yards and a pick. I thought he did fine, you know, at times, and then just at times he got himself into trouble. But, like, there were plays there. You miss a field goal that Hoosier can normally hit. You miss on some reads at the end for Tyler Brown, or, you know, Wesco could have made it a play. You know, TJ Moore had some opportunities. Like, there were plays that were there. I think from the LSU standpoint, I was impressed with Nussmeier. I thought he played a good game. I thought that they did a good job of scripting for him. He just felt like he was in command of the offense. He definitely could tell he had taken a step up. And I think that's the thing with Clemson, is you want to see how they respond. But I thought they were pretty good. They definitely made some plays. There's controversy on whether or not that was a touchdown. I talked about it in the Backyard Catch podcast, where we talk more national storylines. You know, I think from a way the rule is written, you can see why they made that point. I think you might even have to, like, you have to make that call because he didn't complete the catch. Did it feel like a catch, you know, when they scored in the end zone that was taken off the board? Yeah, it did. It felt like it lied. But at the same time, when the ball comes out and it moves like that, that you kind of have to call it that way. And at least that was consistent. It's kind of one of those, like, in a game like that, yeah, I mean, there's arguments to be made on both sides of it. And I think by letter of the law, of the rule book, I mean, you kind of have to make that call. But at the same time, do I like it? Not necessarily. You know, and I can see why LSU would have a beef with that. At the same time, though, there also were opportunities that Clemson just missed. And it could have still been a tie game at the end of the day. And it could have gone. Honestly, I think that game probably felt like it should have gone to overtime. The way it was trending, I feel like Clemson had that one opportunity on a third down. Tyler Brown over the middle on a little bit of a slant route. He had room, and if Cade saw him, like, he made that read, which apparently he was supposed to make that read, instead he rolled out of the pocket to the right. If he makes that read, that's like a touchdown, you know? And then we're talking about overtime. And then who knows what happens in an overtime game, you know? So there you have it, I think. But don't get me wrong, LSU was the better team that night. And I think Clemson, like, not needs to go back to the drawing board, but really needs to, I'm sure they've already started doing this a lot, some more self-reflecting within the game, because you got Troy, who, you know, the two times Clemson's played Troy, like, Troy can play, you know, and they'll make you earn it. You know, they Clemson played Troy in the national title year in 2016, and they were only they only won by a touchdown. It's 30-23. And then they played them tough in 2011. They were down at halftime. So don't get me wrong, Clemson's like a 33.5-point favorite, I think, as I read it last, but they will be ready to play. And Clemson needs to be ready to go. And you can't fart around with a team like that. You need to establish early and often with them. And then you go on the road to Georgia Tech, who, they're a tough team. Do not write them off. They're a tough team. That team plays tough. Like, they went on the road to Colorado. And you know Haynes King and company and Brent Key, they'll be ready to play. So you got to be ready to go. And Miami looks better. Florida State looks better. You know Louisville. You have Louisville on the road later. Of course, you got Georgia Tech, like I said. I mean, I know North Carolina didn't play very well at all, but that's also 6 weeks from now. So, I mean, that one doesn't look as big as it maybe did, but you gotta watch for those things. So, my point being that Clemson needs to right the ship fast. The opportunities are all still out there, and that's the beauty of a 12-team playoff, is that, you know, while I might not have, like, wanted it per se from a mistake of regular season standpoint, I think there's a lot out there still for Clemson to play for, and they can definitely still do all these goals without this, you know. And I think there's an opportunity to learn from that. I think people need to watch out for LSU, and I think they're more of a factor than I think even people even gave them credit for in the offseason. And the way some other teams fared, you know, from the SEC, like, they're a team to watch, and you might have to deal with them. But yeah, that's where you'll have it. I thought, going back to the game from a Clemson standpoint, I was impressed defensively. I thought from our first game, LSU was a lot of speed, a lot of talent on the outside. You knew they were going to try to get the ball there. I thought they did a pretty good job, all things considered, in today's day and age, to hold a team to 17 points, you know, with a team that it's going to score points. Like, don't get, like, Clemson and LSU will score points. To only hold them to 17, Nussmeier played well. He only had 232 yards. And then rushing altogether, they had 108. So, like, you know, a little over 300 yards, 330 yards rushing. Or total yards, excuse me. Like, that's pretty good from a first game defense. You're playing a top 10 team, you know, with a new coordinator. I thought he did pretty well. I thought I liked Will Hell. I liked, you know, the spurt that he gave. Defensive line, I wanted them to get home more. I thought they did a good job of, like, kind of containing, and then at times, like, really containing offense. They didn't get as home as much as you would have liked. TJ Parker, I would have liked to see a little bit more. He did have a roughing the passer that led to the go-ahead touchdown. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a go-ahead touchdown. It led to a touchdown in the game that ended up being key. So I thought he played pretty well. Sammy Brown was all over the field. Like, we were kind of expecting, but, I mean, that's a dude. He was in on plays. I think a guy that really I enjoyed and was encouraging to see from a Clemson standpoint was Ronan Hanifin. He came in as dual, you know, DB and wide receiver, switched to DB, and as the starting safety now. That dude was everywhere. He was on punt team. I mean, that dude, he led the team in tackles, 12 tackles, one tackle for a loss, 6 solo. Brown had 11. Woodaz had 6. So I thought he played pretty well. So when he got, you know, you got Woodaz and Brown, Hannafin in the back. I thought Hampton played decently well. They got called for a little bit of PI, but I like the aggressiveness. So I thought Terrell played pretty well. He had the broken up fumble that helped stop a drive. So I thought they played pretty well, all things considered, and that was encouraging. Kelly, my son Kelly, King Kelly also played, I thought, pretty well. Lost and made a good play. So I think that there are some encouraging things for sure in the game, but there's a lot also to clean up, and that's part of a week one game. So moving on, I know a lot of people are ready to move on to week two, but I think this is a game that can kind of linger, and if you don't take care of it, it can linger in a good way, or it can linger in a bad way. It can linger as a motivation of, like, Clemson did not nearly play to the level that they're capable of, right? And so they use that as then that's a motivation factor for them. Or it's a lingering type of thing where they win some games, but then it's all about the mindset for them right now. And they have a good opportunity against a Troy team that's going to put up a fight, you know. Clemson is currently, I think they're a 33.5 point favorite, if I read that correctly. I'm trying to pull this up as we speak. The last I saw it was 33.5. I don't have them covering that, and it's not from a lack of faith in Clemson. It's just one, that's a lot of points, regardless of who you play, and you have to feel really confident about that. And for a team that only scored 10 points last week, I mean, so granted, last year they played App State and they scored 66, right? But that App State team ended up being not as good as we thought. And I just, so I would take the under in that. I would have Troy covering, but I think Clemson wins by like 21. You know, like if it was 21, like that's much more of a score that I would feel more comfortable with versus like 3.5, just a lot of points. I think things to watch is I just want to watch Cade run through his progressions, and I want him to look comfortable and more continue to build momentum, because before you know it, you're playing a noon game at Georgia Tech on the road, and they're a tough team, and you know they're going to be ready to go. So you want them to look comfortable. And if Antonio Williams can't go, you know, Tyler Brown's going to step up into that position. But I want to see just good fluidity on the offense, good connections between him, Wesco, DJ Moore. I want Smith to get more into the game. I think that was another thing. I would like to see Christian Smith get more. Alexander, if he gets to play more on defense, but sounds like he's got to work his way into that. And then the running game, I just really want to see that more. I think we just need to just build some confidence in that. And like, it's there, but give Adam Randall just some more reps. And then Eazy-E and Gideon Davidson. I mean, we've heard great things, but he missed the one pass protection, and it's hard with a defense that's pressures as much to feel as confident in a freshman running back. You have to be able to block. So I would look for him to get some more opportunities as well. But I would look for some different things in this game. I think Clemson will come out of it with some encouraging things. But at the same time, though, know that Dabo wants to play a lot of guys. He wants to give guys opportunities. And that's why I think 33.5 is just too many points. I would look for it to be like a 31 to like a weird, like a 31-13, 31-17, that kind of a game where like, I think there'll be some encouragements, but there'll still be, maybe not all the questions will be answered per se. And I don't know if you really can until you play a team like Georgia Tech anyway. But that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with 31-13. Defense makes some plays. You know, they'll be able to move the ball a little bit, especially when you're trying to rotate that many guys and get guys action for sure. And I think just wanting – it's more of the look of how the capability of the offense is. Like, do they look – how comfortable do they look in the scheme and able to call plays? And then how much of the running game are we able to actually to do, you know, and who are guys that they can fully count on? So there you have it. That's the Clemson week. It was disappointing from a Clemson standpoint, but there's a lot still on the table. All the goals, you win the ACC, you're in the playoff, you know. Even if it'd be interesting to see, even to say you win out, beat South Carolina and lose to Miami, for example. I mean, that's 11-2, you know, versus some ranked wins. I think you have a really good shot being a playoff team. So all that's still there, but they have to get it fixed quickly. So thanks for listening. And remember, we are part of the Backer Catch podcast network. So follow us on the Backer Catch page. Like and subscribe to that. That really helps out the channel. And with the podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast. That really helps me. So thanks for listening, and we will talk soon. Thanks. Have a good week.